Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. We are coming to you live from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. The show is a convergence of Mast Media and Laser Lute Air Student Radio. Today, I am joined by Kellen Westering in full uniform. Kellen, how are you doing today?
You know, Christian and Drew, it's a pleasure to be here once again, our third week in a row. I'm doing great. Like you said, in full uniform. We had a photo shoot today, folks. Our photos will be coming out in the next couple days. But like you said, full uniform, no helmet, though. No mouth guard, no pads. But
I was kind of disappointed in that whole fact. I kind of wanted to see the whole picture.
And that's fair. You know, that's a fair argument. But I'm comfortable. I mean, I'll probably wear this Monday.
That sounds. I hope you.
My favorite part of that was walking past the recruiting pitch and all the parents are looking at you walking around in your full uniform, full pants. That made my day.
Yeah, they assume that's what we do here. We're always wearing our uniforms.
That's what we do.
This is high school all over again.
Drew, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I had fun with the photo shoot this morning, even though I first objected to that whole ordeal. You talked me into it, and it was actually kind of fun watching Kellen get dressed in full uniform and do the cool guy pose. And
the cool guy pose. You guys will see the cool guy pose.
See the cool guy pose.
It's not a joke.
And palm the football. That's completely flat.
Hey, that was Tom Brady. He took the air.
I'm going Deflategate jokes now. The day has just begun. We're already talking about Deflategate again.
That's what's up. How you guys' week's been?
You know, it's been good. You know, guys, we've all had relationships where they've hurt us. And, you know, they might lie one time and, you know, we don't give them a second chance. And in my opinion, that's kind of what happened with Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler, you know, he got benched earlier in the season. And I think he was a little bit frustrated with that. And I think he held that against the Denver Broncos. And once the Texans came calling, just like a new person, you know, show someone respect in a new relationship, they're going to flock to that. Obviously, the money was also a big, big price for Brock as well. But I think Brock was really, really hurt with what happened. And I think that's why he went to the Texans, fellas.
Yeah, you made that sound real prolific.
I appreciate that.
You started that out. I thought we were going to talk about something deep.
Next level.
Yeah, that was next level.
It's only the first hour.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the whole Brock Osweiler thing went, I find it really hard to, like, wrap my head around someone would leave a Super Bowl-ready team, a team that didn't lose pretty much anybody in free agency. And I know we'll get to free agency later, Christian, so I won't take away the thunder now. But, I mean, to walk away to a Texans organization where you're not even in running to be the guy.
Right.
Because there's J.J. Watt and, you know, Jadeveon Clowney. There's big names there already that are on the defensive side of the ball. You can't walk in there and be the guy.
Right.
However, you turn around and you go to Denver, and he'd be the guy on offense.
Well, we don't know.
He'd be the guy.
We don't know exactly what Brock Osweiler was thinking. This is just my humble opinion. But, you know, I saw a press conference, and Brock Osweiler was saying, you know, there's something special in the Houston Texans organization. And to be honest with you, I would argue with that because there's not a lot going on there. That's why, in my opinion, I think the reason why he took that deal was because he was hurt by Denver. And it'd be interesting if the Texans and the Broncos offered him the same amount of money,
yeah.
I still think he would go with the Texans.
Maybe. I think he chased the money a little bit. I mean, I know what he's saying about the Texans organization. If anybody watched Hard Knocks on HBO this summer,
I did.
The Texans organization is a great organization. You know, they're a great organization. I understand what he was saying, but I would have liked him to stay loyal. I mean, I would have stuck with the team I beat the Patriots with. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
That's the division competition right there.
Folks, I want to remind those of you who are listening that most of the stories we'll be talking about today can be found at massmedia.plu.edu. We want to hear from you, our listeners throughout the show. Feel free to call into the show at any time. The number to call is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Now, let's talk about what took place here on campus, folks, this past weekend. PLU baseball hosted Willamette this weekend in a three-game series at a Salem, Oregon. Christian, you were at the game. You know, how did our guys play after a rough weekend last week? And obviously, we talked about that. Did they bounce back?
They did. They had a really good weekend, a really good showing against Willamette. Head coach Nolan Sodi, I talked to him after the game, getting quotes for the recaps on golutes.com.
Nice plug. Very, very well done.
Yeah, check those out. They're pretty sweet.
Do you write those? Or?
I do a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good for you.
I get some help, but yeah, that's all me. Head coach Nolan Sodi was very pleased with how his team played throughout the entire weekend. In game one, Brett Johnson was the catalyst. He was on base three times, which is a great day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Johnson scored three runs for POU, so his teammates were driving him in. First baseman Cole Johnson hit a big home run early in the game. Landon Packard and Tyler Thompson also drove in runs. Ty Donahue.
I will say those are first-team all-conference guys last year.
They're studs.
We almost had a first-team. The Lucy ones had a first-team all-conference infield last year.
Yeah, they're very good baseball players. They're extremely fun to watch. It was kind of a weird situation. Kyle Rossman normally gets the ball in game one. He came out after the second inning. A little bit of bicep tightness. They didn't let him go back in early in the year. It's understandable. Save it, right?
Yeah, save his arm. Rossman's your number one.
Yeah.
I mean, he struggled a little bit this year just finding the strike zone a little bit. He's been a little wild. The kid throws the snot out of the ball, let's be honest here. And so, you know, yeah, he gets a little wild sometimes, but usually he calms down about the second, third inning, starts grooving the ball in the zone, finds his work rate, finds what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. But it's probably smart by the coaching staff there because they've lost so many arms out of that bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy John's practically a badge of office in that bullpen.
Yeah.
So you might as well save the arm, save your number one from having to deal with any arm troubles.
That's exactly right. So Ty Donahue then came in relief. He pitched 6 2/3 innings. He gave up 5 hits and struck out 3. So POU beat Willamette in game one of the series 6-1. So it was a good start to the series.
No question, because we talked about last weekend. Drew, I think you were in class or you were skipping class. But, you know, we talked about just how much this baseball team, you know, talking to Tanner Bogart, senior, you know, center fielder, how much he wanted this for their guys and how much, you know, they weren't going to hit the panic button. You know, they're still a young team with obviously the first-year head coach. And what happened in game two, Christian?
Moving on to game two, Brett Johnson giveth and he taketh away.
Ooh.
All right. So in the top of the sixth inning, Johnson robbed a Willamette hitter of at least an extra base hit. This guy, I think he'd already hit a home run early in the series. High fly ball deep to right field. Johnson tracks the ball all the way, gets to the wall, reaches up, and snatches the ball from bouncing off the wall or even going over the wall. I mean, it was a fantastic catch from Brett Johnson.
You know, Johnson, that's good. It's good to see you step into that role in right field because there was a big hole left there last year as one of the Lutes' premier power hitters and one of the better outfielders, and Colin Nielsen left.
Right.
You know, he graduated, and they had to find someone to go fill that role, and it's good to see him stepping up and fulfilling that role, getting on base, doing things that they need to do because, you know, the Lutes are a great ball club. At the end of the day, they need to get guys on base because their coaching staff's good enough that they will be able to manufacture runs, and they have a very, very good bullpen, very, very good pitching staff. You know, they can protect leads. They just got to get guys on base to manufacture runs. That's it.
All right, so the game was tied later in the bottom of the seventh at 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Landon Packard drove in a run on an RBI single.
Okay.
All right, then in steps Brett Johnson, found a pitch to his liking and hit an absolute bomb over the left field wall. 3-run shot. That put the Lutes up, I think, 5-1 or whatever. I'll do the quick math there. But
yeah,
they would, you know, continue to score. Brett Johnson took away a home run. Brett Johnson hit a home run for POU and basically pushed the game out of contention for Willamette. Corey Nelson was on the mound for that game, left-handed pitcher. Nelson went 8 innings, gave up 1 run with 4 strikeouts. Saturday turned out to be a great day for POU baseball as they took game 2, 7-1.
You got to love the lefty, man.
Yeah.
POU's got a few good ones.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So we talked about Brett Johnson, you know, robbing a home run.
Yep.
Hitting a home run. So as athletes, you guys tell me, how tough is it to develop, you know, a game that's two ways? I mean, Drew, you definitely get to do it. Playing offense and defense in basketball.
Yeah, you know,
there are definitely guys that are known more for their defense or more for their offense.
So this is the comparisons I'll give you because I know Kellen likes his NBA comparisons. Okay, so a defensive guy in the NBA, looking at guards. I'm not talking about post guys because
right.
This is a guards league now. Post guys are almost irrelevant.
Right.
Okay. Probably the first guy I think of comes to mind is Shane Battier. Defensive stopper from Duke, plays the game fundamental, plays the game the correct way. He's a defensive guy. Can he score? Yes. Is that why he's on the floor? Absolutely not. Okay.
And he's got great leadership as well.
Great leadership. He's a Duke guy. He was brought up Coach K style.
Right.
Okay. So then there's the opposite side of the spectrum. Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse had the mentality, and let me quote this, "I do not have to play defense because I can just outscore my matchup."
Sure.
So
That's one way to look at it. Right or
so
wrong.
So you see those two separate things. Then you have guys who like struggle to play defense. Steph Curry struggles to defend. Great offense player, struggles to defend.
James Harden.
Well, why? He's small. Well, there's a difference between Steph Curry and James Harden. Steph Curry can't defend because he's not big enough and physical enough to defend. James Harden can't defend because he has no will to play defense.
That's
fair. There's a difference.
Gotta bring the want to.
There's a difference. Defense takes no talent. Is all want and all heart.
All want to.
Yeah, it's all want to. Exactly what you said. So playing the game two ways, extremely important. The guys who can play the game two ways, extremely successful. You know, I don't think people give LeBron James enough credit for his defense. I don't think people give Kobe Bryant enough credit for his defense. You know what I mean? Kobe Bryant's the only guy I can remember who played on-ball defense and went for steals in the All-Star game in the past 8 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like you need – but if you want to be successful, if you want to be a great player, you got to learn to play both ways. You know, if I always say catcher's your best defensive player, right?
Right.
But if you're a catcher who can hit, they'll find a spot for you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll
first
figure
base,
it out.
First base, third base, they'll figure it out.
Yeah,
Mike,
exactly.
Mike Piazza.
Right. Mike Piazza.
Right.
Mike Piazza wasn't the best catcher in the world, but he could hit the ball.
Right.
You know, Jason Giambi. Jason Giambi, the first base. I hate to quote movies and everything.
Moneyball?
Yeah, the first base was the moon to Jason Giambi. Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't a good first base at all. Well, what could he do?
Slug.
He gets slugged. He hit the
right.
ball. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing about both ways.
Yeah. So
to answer your question, yeah. Christian, you know, for me, I guess I can kind of relate it more to high school because, you
well,
know, in high school I played both ways.
Right.
In
yeah.
college, obviously, I'm only playing one way, and that's the offensive side of the ball. But, I mean, I can think about, you know, to also kind of bend the question more to, you know, in specifics. For me, it's like, you know, obviously catching the football is extremely important, but also blocking. And I think to be an all-around receiver, you got to have both. You know, we have a motto, I think it's like no block, no rock or something like that. So, I mean, if you don't block, you're not going to get the ball.
Yeah.
And so in college football, you can finally cut block. And so you can't quite do that in high school. So in college football, you can get down low and go for their knees and obviously do it in a legal way. But it's one of those things where a lot of guys are prima donnas when it comes to blocking. You know,
oh, yeah.
They kind of like to prance out there, you know, kind of play patty cake with the corners. And you see the NFL. And when they're mic'd up, sometimes literally, you know, they're not even wearing knee pads. Sometimes they don't even wear thigh pads. But literally before the game, I've seen, you know, no offense to throw him under the bus here, but Calvin Johnson, well, he'll go up to a corner, you know, whether it's Pac-Man Jones, or and they'll just be like, hey, when it comes to runs, let's just chill. You know what I mean? They'll legit say that. Obviously, in Division III, we're not at the NFL level at all, so we're going to give it our best shot and go at it, you know, every single play of the ball game. So I think when it comes to, you know, college football, as a receiver at my position, you got to be good at blocking as well as catching.
Right.
Yeah, what that made me think of was Brett Favre. Brett Favre was the biggest fake blocker of all time. I love when he'd come around in reverse and he'd run so hard like he was like going to bear down on you and actually like throw a block. And then he like ole you.
Well, you see Russell Wilson, he'll throw some blocks.
Russell Wilson will throw a block.
Yeah.
To me, as a quarterback, if you're willing to throw blocks on plays
that's
or
big
do
time.
Something like that, or receivers, that's playing both ways.
Right.
Because there's specialization here, that's playing both parts.
And obviously,
of the game.
You got to be. I mean, Russell Wilson's not going to go for the major kill shot, but if there's a reverse, he's going to be smart.
He's going
to he'll try
in,
to get in the
put
way.
Put a shoulder in, yeah, do something.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up POU baseball here. Finally, on Sunday, POU baseball completed the sweep of Willamette by beating up on the Bearcats. Cole Johnson was the star of the day, pitching 7 innings and striking out a pair of batters. Again, Cole had a great day at the plate, too, driving in 3 runs. It's kind of a do-it-yourself effort from Cole Johnson there on Sunday.
You got to love as a pitcher when you can help yourself out. When you
absolutely.
Give yourself a lead and then you can protect it. What I've noticed about this PLU bullpen, the PLU just bullpen pitching staff in general, is they don't strike a lot of guys out, but they're good ground ball pitchers. They get outs.
Well, where's the need?
Yeah, that's
in my
the
opinion,
thing.
Where's the need? If you got 8 guys behind you that are going to pick you up if you get a ground ball or a fly ball or anything like that, why do I need to strike you out? I'm going to get you out.
You have an all-conference, first-team all-conference third baseman, first-team all-conference second baseman, second-team all-conference first baseman.
Right.
You know what I mean? You go around this infield. And,
play to them.
And throw pick at the corners, throw junk, work your pitch sequences, and let them – let the infielders work ground up.
That's exactly
play
right.
ground balls.
That's exactly right. POU would take advantage of 4 errors made by Willamette on the day as well. The Lutes went on to win 10-1. So, you know, 2 very different weekends for the POU. I think 2 weeks ago they were swept by Pacific, and then this week they sweep Willamette. So, Kellen, I'll ask you, what do you think of the mental state of POU baseball right
you
now?
You know, that's a great question, Christian. And, you know, you look at this weekend, they won 23-3. 23-3.
Right.
And you talk about bouncing back, and baseball is one of those games. I think I can't quite know who quoted this week in the major leagues, but someone was saying how Major League Baseball it can be boring. It can be long. It might have been Mike Trout. I'm not sure, Drew, if you saw it on Facebook or Christian.
It might be my tough deal next week. Bryce Harper.
Harper, that's
Bryce
right.
Is
yeah,
starting a campaign to make baseball great again.
Yeah, that's where I saw. And honestly, that's fair because, I mean, they don't really get to celebrate. You know, they don't get to do the Cam Newton kind of stuff. And the
I'm
Steph
excited
Curry.
For that tough deal. Not to cut you off.
No,
that's
yeah.
great.
That is
yeah.
a good
that's
tough deal.
That's a good tough deal. We
so
may have to do that. Yeah.
Tune in next week, 11 to 1.
Tune in next week, 11 to 1.
We'll talk about how to make baseball great again. But continue.
Another shameless plug.
But 23-3, and you talk about being swept last week again. obviously they've had a tough start to the season, but it's a long season, and they've really kind of used the mindset that we use on the football team, Christian and Drew, which is flush it. You know, put it behind you and work. You know, work towards next week and take it one game at a time. And like I said, 23-3. Talk about bouncing back. It's exciting to see this PLU baseball team get after it.
It's a fantastic way to bounce back after getting swept and sweeping and taking care of business. This weekend, POU baseball travels to Spokane to face the Whitworth Pirates, who are off to a great start. You look at their stuff, they're 15 games in, they got a 12-3 record, and they've hit like 17 bombs in 15 games. So they can swing it, they can play defense, so it should be a really fun series. Hopefully there's a live stream, we can tune in and check it out.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Because we know what happens to those live streams.
Yeah. Whitworth, if you're listening, we're a little sour about what happened in the men's championship game for the Northwest Conference, not getting that live stream up until about 7 minutes left in the first half. That's poor.
Do we have time for Pat Whitworth on the back just a tiny bit, just for a quick second?
We could say something nice about him now that we've ripped him.
What I wanted to say was, you know, I did the conference tournament here last year.
Right.
And Whitworth baseball winning that conference tournament was, one, huge. And two, the way they did it. When Dan Scheibe, who's now graduated, he was a senior last year, no hit Linfield. That was the best pitching performance, one of the best games I have ever watched of complete baseball. And Scheibe didn't strike a lot of guys out. It was just good baseball. So like, that's one of my favorite moments ever of working broadcast and radio and all that stuff, is that game. To watch mighty Linfield baseball get no hit.
Yeah, it had to be sweet.
To get no hit.
It had to be sweet.
And we don't have any time to say anything nice about Linfield. So.
No,
we can't do that.
Can't do that one here.
Can't do that. All right, coming up after the break, we are going to take some time to talk about how Drew got some sweet hours working the POU softball games this last weekend. They were scheduled to play four.
We played three.
They didn't get to four, all right? They didn't get to four. Find out how many games they got to. Well, Drew gave it away. They got to three games. Find out how they did in those three games when we come back after the break.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, that is 253-535-7332.
All right, now let's walk a couple hundred feet to the softball diamond. They also had games on campus this past weekend. Drew, you were on the broadcast all weekend long, and you must have got some fantastic hours. You want to tell us all about it?
Long is the key operative word here, ladies and gentlemen. Long. So, first game, so we're on a Saturday. PLU lost the first game on standalone mental errors. Just mental errors.
That's fair. You want me to provide some detail? Because I have some in the
script.
Yeah,
go ahead.
If you'd follow along with the script, you know what's going to go on.
No,
so.
Please go ahead.
Okay, all right. POU took on Lewis and Clark this weekend in game one. It took 8 innings to find a winner, right? Game was tied at 2 until Lewis and Clark scored a run in the top of the 8th, and POU couldn't answer.
Yep.
The box score says it was a pretty clean game, Drew. So now, you know, tell us what went on.
Yeah, it was just mental mistakes. Like, and it was nothing that would be recorded in the scorebook. It was
right. I mean, I couldn't find anything really that was wrong.
Base running errors.
Okay.
It was missing cutoff man. It was bad pitch sequences. I mean, they took Ellie Rosbach to like 6-3-2 counts and walked every single time. The leadoff hitter got on every single inning.
That's just tough to deal with.
And it was like, it was a clean game, scorebook-wise, but watching the game, the pace was super slow. They took PLU way out of what they usually do. PLU likes quick-paced games. And everyone slowed down.
Okay, now I heard something. Tyler Scott, our sports information director.
Yeah,
right. He came over midway through the game and said, "I can't believe what each of these infielders are doing." He came over. He said, "Between every pitch, it's like a different infielder will come over and talk to the pitcher and say something." Was that really going on?
So I did on the live broadcast. If anybody here listening did tune in, I counted by thousands in between pitches live. Like this, 1,000. I was up to 31,000 before this woman was back on the rubber, not even in motion delivering, before she towed the rubber again. Between every single pitch, she'd walk 10 feet behind, out of the pitcher circle, like almost to second base, and walk back. And every infielder was in the pitcher circle waiting for her when she came back. It was ridiculous. Like, you've seen, like, there are some, like, you know, famous slow work rates in the MLB. Famously slow.
Yeah.
James Baldwin for the Mariners, he was a classic one.
Slow.
Painful.
This was painful.
Painful. It has to be the word.
And it's tough as a broadcaster.
This has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with men's, women's sports or anything. Because baseball, there are some baseball guys with just baseball games have been painful. But let me just say right now, it was ridiculous. And you're sitting there, and not only was I broadcasting, but I was broadcasting alone. So there was no one to talk to.
You
having these huge, long gaps of everything. That's why I just started counting, just to bring everybody at home into like the ridiculousness of what was going on. It was crazy. But yeah, it took 8 innings, a game that should have been over in the bottom of the 7th if the PLU'd run the bases correctly.
Well,
that's it.
Drew, you got your money's worth.
Yeah. Yeah. No, let's go to the next game. Let's talk about getting our money's worth next.
All right. So
the next game is all about getting your money's worth.
Softball plays doubleheaders each day that they play, Saturday,
correct,
Sunday, right?
Yep.
All right. So day 2 of the first day's doubleheader took 2 days to finish, and I'm not making that up.
No.
It took two days.
2 days.
All right. The game.
2 days and 2 rain delays
the
on
game,
Sunday. 2 rain delays. 2 half-hour rain delays.
This game took 13 innings.
Okay.
To complete. All
right.
Looking at this box score, the game shouldn't have gone 13 innings because POU committed 7 errors.
Yeah, 7 horrendous errors.
Just common knowledge. Okay. You see the E in the box score, you see a 7 by it. There's no way that they should be in a game with 7 errors.
Any team, doesn't matter,
POU, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
7 errors shouldn't be in a game with 7.
So there are 3 things about this game I want to talk about. 3 things. First one is errors. Okay. Dropped fly balls, 2. 2 dropped fly balls.
2 dropped fly balls.
Okay. 2 misgloved ground balls because we didn't work ground up.
So not getting it, so basically just
next
not, error, not getting the glove in the
dirt. Line drive to the third baseman, catches it, drops out of her glove. Next error, shortstop picks up the ball, ground ball, hard hit ground ball. Like the 4 or 5 hitters up, so no one extremely fast. Triple taps the glove. Tap, 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 and then decides to throw the ball safe. It was things like that. Okay, so let's talk about that. That's my first thing, errors. Second thing, this game, formal protest was lodged by Coach Lance Glasso in this game. There was an argument and interpretation. The rules were at the point Coach Lance Glasso brought out the rule book and put it in the umpire's face and said, "You're wrong." something I had never, ever seen in my entire life, a coach actually present the NCAA official rulebook to an umpire and tell him he's wrong.
It doesn't help for pace of play either.
It doesn't help.
That's a long argument
to
have. It
doesn't help for pace of play either. However, so what happened was one of the women from Lewis and Clark scored around a bunt, okay, went to drag across. So you have to lay your ball. You have to lay your bat out there, arms out there and everything.
Right.
And the ball goes down. Ball hit her in the forearm.
Ooh. This is a...
But the ball was over the plate. Okay? The only reason the ball hit her is because she did not make an effort to get out of the way, and the ball was over the plate. It's because she was drag bunting. So the ball hit her. So the umpire gave her a base. Rule is the ball has to be completely within the batter's box in order for a pitch to count. Not only that...
So by that, this ball would have had to hit her in the body. It shouldn't have hit her in the arm.
Correct.
She would have had to be in the body.
Correct. So, but the rule states that the ball has to be completely in the box, but the umpire gives her the base anyways. Coach Glasso, obviously infuriated, comes out yelling and screaming. Umpire says, "No, you're wrong." So coach goes back to the thing, goes into his backpack, rips out the rule book, goes to the exact rule. He knew the number of the rule and cited it in argument. He came back with it and said, "You're wrong." And guess what the umpire said? He said, "You're right, but I'm still going to give her the base anyways because that was the call."
Right.
So that's number 2. Number 3, this game was done in the bottom of the 7th. You want to know why? Because Thalen Masada came up to hit, and they pitched, and they threw a wild pitch, and Emily McConnell stole third, and then the ball was overthrown, and she took home. But Coach Lance Glasso did not enter Thalen Masada into the game.
Oh.
So they put everything back to how it was, and Thalen was out, and was not unable to be entered back in for the rest of the game.
So Coach Glasso forgot to formally say, hey, pinch hitter.
Pinch hitter.
Right?
Correct.
So and he forgot to present the change. However you want to word
so
that.
For that, we went six more innings the next day because we ran out of daylight.
Wrap up game two for us, Drew.
Wrap up game two.
Sunday morning.
So Sunday morning, game ends basically by Kelly Crawford hits the ball up the middle, base hit, in the top bottom of the 13th, and then the pitcher hangs a changeup over the meat of the plate. And Catherine Hatlin said, see ya. And that was the end of that. She hit the ball over the track and onto the grass field in left field. Ball was gone from the moment it left the bat. I said, game over. The minute the ball touched the bat, it was crazy. So that ended the game. But that woke up the bats for the third game. I called Kelly Crawford's leadoff up the middle single in the pouring rain. That woke up the bats for the third game.
Right. That walk-off home run must have been just a triumphant, like, fitting way to end a big relief, too.
13-inning, two-day game. That was formally protested, won already, not won because they didn't make a formal substitution, and then won on a walk-off home run a day later.
And think of having plus two
half-hour rain delays. So, no, timeout. Plus 2 half-hour rain delays. I spent, average length of a softball game, hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours. I spent 14 hours on the clock this weekend.
That's
14 hours.
That's good stuff.
and that's what I'm thinking. It's just like as an athlete, imagine playing one football game between 2 days. You have to restretch. Yeah. I mean, it's just like...
It was
like,
the length of a
whole
other
softball,
game.
And granted, softball is very different, but it's just... Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it really is.
Kellen, try stopping in the third quarter, going home, going to bed, waking up the next day,
people,
and playing the fourth quarter.
And putting people back on base, too.
Right.
Picking right back up.
New uniforms.
Counts,
I mean, it's
putting
just...
counts back up, putting people back on base.
Right.
It was weird. Like, and Marissa Miller threw 18 innings.
Jeez.
Like, rubber, like Madison Bumgardner much. Like, rubber arm.
That's unbelievable.
Like, just keep throwing. She's,
Gumby.
She was Gumby-ish. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's as much drama as you could ask for in any type of game. Like,
right. Well, how much does it cost to go to a softball game?
It's free.
It's free? Okay. Well,
so,
I mean.
You missed out, guys.
If you weren't
there, I could not have been there.
The whole thing was
just like, it was so hard to explain to people at home what was going on.
Yeah.
Because there was so much dead time.
Was there a live stream?
Yeah, there was a live stream. The whole entire time, I was trying to explain to these people about the protest, not formally substituting, all this stuff about game pickup, what happens if the protest would have went through. Like, it would have been crazy. If PLU would have lost that game in the 14th inning and the protest would have been upheld, that Coach Lance Glasso lodged in the fourth inning, the game would have had to have been replayed from that point. So all that time would have been just a complete waste.
Which puts a weird dynamic in your head.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking like, if we lose, we'll just pick this up in the fourth if I win this protest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You could totally just sit on that. As a coach, you could just sit there and go, whatever. Let's win the game. But if we don't, we could pick it back
we
up in the fourth.
We could pick it back up in the fourth inning.
Which is crazy.
This weekend, softball-wise, I have never been more like... confused at one time about how to explain something to people who aren't actually like witnessing what's going on.
That's totally fair.
Because I wish there was mic'd up. I wish we could mic Lance and the umpires up. I'd love to hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's wrap it up real quick with game three. The team scored 8 runs in the first 2 innings of the game. Like you said, that home run woke the bats up.
Yeah, woke the bats up.
The team finished the game with 14 hits and 12 runs. They spent so much time playing that they got it figured out by Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, well, there were five half-hour rain delays, so do that math. Plus 3 games, one that went 13, one that went 8 innings, and another one that went 8 innings, right? So there was, 16 plus 13 is what? There's 29 innings of softball played in 3 games. That's
crazy.
All I have to say. That's
crazy.
It.
A bunch. They didn't even get to finish the series.
And they didn't get to finish the series. They're picking up, if you guys want to watch some more softball, they're picking up here on the 19th.
You might as well tune into that.
Might as well tune into that because that game could be
crazy. It could
crazy.
Be just as wild.
Absolutely.
From the first couple.
Well, I'm surprised you still have a voice, man. We're proud of you for getting through that.
It was crazy.
Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will talk about track and field. It's on Loot Air Student Radio. Yeah. If you want to call into the show, the number to do it is 253-535-7332. Once again, give us a call at 253-535-7332. All right, guys, let's take some time to talk about track and field here at Pacific Lutheran University. Their season got underway with a meet against Linfield Wildcats. We're going to take some time and recap the results from the meet against the Wildcats. Christian, what happened?
Well, they were off. A couple athletes got off to a good start. Amanda Wilson won the 400 with a time of 59.97. It's a good run in the 400 meter. Shireen Stovall won shot put with a throw of 38.75. Brad Hoskinson's also wins the men's 5,000 meter. I don't even know how long that is. Posting a time of 15:01.94.
Hold on, 5,000 meter you said?
Yeah, so, a long, long time of running.
So, well, 1,600's a mile. Okay. Right. So times what? Let's do some quick math here. Student athlete.
Come on, guys. That's only my freshman year. That's why I didn't go into business.
Yeah, that's why I'm a history major.
Well, that's a long time. No question about it.
That's running for a long time. See, I can't run. I can't run that long. Like, there's only there's only a few things I'll run. I take that back. I will run that long after a basketball, after a football, after a soccer ball, right, out in the outfield, after
but
a baseball.
But if there's nothing that you're chasing.
After a girl, I'll run that far.
Right.
You know what I mean? If there's nothing I'm chasing, there's no way you can get me to run to run.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, I'll ask you this question, Drew. How does it feel to open up this season with a win? Or in basketball, obviously, sometimes you guys play back-to-backs. Just a win in the series. How does it feel to start with a win?
Starting out a season with a win is huge because it sets the tone, especially depending on who it's against.
Right.
Like, we start out, with a loss to Portland State, but we were in that game the entire time.
Okay? I don't really count that game.
But the first D3 opponents we faced, we won.
Right.
And we won big, and that was a statement. Those are statement games.
Yep.
It's just kind of like to go beat Linfield, who's very good at track, very good track and field wise, to go to their meet and do well.
Yeah.
Is
especially huge. Winning away, like
is
you said there.
Huge. Winning on the road, even bigger. That's the only reason basketball didn't make the tournament this year. Could win on the road.
That's so true. For me, you know, to answer my own question, you know, Drew and Christian, I think it's one of those things where in football, you only have 9 games, you know, at the Division III level. Sometimes you got 10. It just depends kind of what your budget is. But I think for us, we only have 9 games here at PLU. And so every game obviously matters. I mean, let's be honest. But that first game is so important, especially when you're at home. Because it's one of those things where you start off the season, you know, school starts, you know, you got some of the fans even travel to Puyallup, which is big time because obviously we don't have a stadium on campus. And for them to come to Spark Stadium, you want to give them a good show. You want to give obviously the parents a good show, and you're playing the game that you love. And I think especially, you know, we start off with Kalu next year at home at Spark Stadium. And it's always so fun because it's always so nice out. And, you know, a lot of people come to the game. And, again, obviously you want to make a statement. And we had a very, very tough season last year, 2-7. And it's one of those things where we want to flush that. And that's why our team, our guys are working so hard because we just want to say, you know what, this is a new year. It's a new team. And that first game, that's when you can make that statement, Drew.
Winning at home determines your attendance for the rest of the season.
It's so
if
true.
You win that first game at home, people will come to your game.
Right.
I say winning
alumni
cures,
will come.
Winning cures all. Basketball, ghost town last year. We won this year. Look what happened.
Exactly.
Place was packed.
Cam Schilling comes back. James Conte comes back.
Winning cures all.
Exactly. No question about that, Drew. That's a great plug there. So this week in PLU Track and Field, will be hosting a home meet. It starts at 9 a.m. So swing by the track and watch our competitions compete in their events. Drew, you're going to be the public service announcer, obviously, so come out and check that. And how hard is that, being the PA announcer for track?
I mean, the only thing I'm probably going to have to battle out there is the elements. I'm not going to have to battle slow pitcher work rate and extra innings or anything like that, but I have to sit down and just announce things based on a schedule and
right.
do things like that.
It's a little bit different than on the radio.
It's a little bit different on the radio just because everyone can hear me, and I know not live broadcast, and I'm not broadcasting actually what's going on. I'm just, you know, trying to get everybody in the right spot.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you talked about a little bit last week, and Thoros had a great week, and Dominic Jackson placed third in the hammer.
Yeah.
145-5, fourth in the shot put, 36.75, and fifth in the discus, 113-2. Lucas Haddon, who's a football player, so a two-sport athlete, track and field as well as football, placed second in the hammer and third in the shot put, 45-9, and fifth in the discus, 135-2. And it's one of those things, you know, Drew, I think every athlete needs discipline. But it's one of those things where track and field, they got practice at 5:30. Christian and I talked about this last week. I live with a track athlete in Brady Daly who also plays football. I mean, to be a track athlete, if you don't have discipline, we've had some guys on the team, I'm not going to call them out per se, but they wanted to do track and they just can't get up that early. They just can't. Some people can't. And that's why you got to give them so much more respect.
What I say is what I've done all the time is this, is that you know, we have to do it for basketball. We get up at 5:30 in the morning to go meet Chris Rice for morning workouts.
Coach Chris Rice.
Yeah, we go do that. You know what I mean? And that's tough.
It is.
And it's hard to get guys out of bed that early. And if you don't get out of bed, you're done.
Right.
Dickerson cuts you right there because you're not committed to the cause.
That's big time.
You know what I mean?
That's big.
If you can't get you, if this is not important enough to you to get yourself out of bed, you can't do it. It's kind of like one of those football things, you know what I mean? Where football, that's one of those sports, if your heart's not in it, you shouldn't be playing because you'll get yourself hurt.
Right. Because we have morning challenges for football right now going on Tuesday to Thursday, 6:45 to 7:30. And we're not allowed to keep attendance. But it's one of those things where our captains do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a serious amount of accountability. And it's cool because we have an incentive this year that if you go to every single challenge, if you wake up and go and compete, you get a t-shirt that says, you know, whatever, PLU football challenge champions. And the guys that are, you know, I think we said everyone, you know, like our first team meeting, everyone that went is going to wear that. And everyone obviously that didn't go is not going to wear that. And so the coaches are going to know, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's not about putting guys down per se, but it's, you know, awarding those guys that put in the time, you know, compared to those guys that didn't.
Committed to the cause. That's what Dickerson calls it. Are you all in? Are you committed to the cause? And you know, that's, To get up at 5:30 in the morning.
We're 6:45, so I can imagine.
You have Brady Daly, right?
Right.
See, I have Eric Swartout on the basketball team. You know
right.
what I mean?
Who
does both?
Right.
Who does basketball, wakes up early, does morning workouts, does all that stuff with us throughout the year, and then as soon as basketball ends, he's waking up again
at
5:30 in the morning to go to track.
That's big time. That's so much respect. And Eric Swartout, I got class with him. What a great guy. I played baseball with him back in the day, actually, which is probably a pretty cool sign out there, folks. So, folks, next on the show, it's time for our tough deal of the week, finding out what is bugging Drew Artisone coming up on Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Don't go away. We'll be right back.